This is the In This League Fantasy Podcast Network. In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Online at inthisleague.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bogman and the Welsh.
What is up, friends, and welcome in to the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I am Chris Welsh, that is Scott Bogman, and we are in the final month of June. It is almost July, which means all-star breaks, which means football for many, and makes July maybe the most important month of fantasy baseball, because this is how I win. This is the Adam Sandler bit. This is how I win.
Make July great again.
That's what we're going to do. We always make July great again. You know, Boggs, we should put that on a hat. That's not a bad logo, right? I had never thought of that.
Make July great again.
Did you come up with that on your own?
I mean, I just made it up. Yeah. I was thinking maybe I could use that as a presidential platform. So make July great again. Yeah.
Make July great again.
We can make all kinds of things great again. So
what color? What would the color scheme you think?
Red.
Red. Oh, you're gonna lean into it? All right. Go ahead. Yeah, lean into it. Who would you like to use it? Let's just keep going. What political party would you?
Is this a villain's
origin story?
Origin story here? Is that what we're doing? Is this how the Deep was made? So
well, you know, every villain, there's two sides. One's gonna think you're a villain, one's gonna think you're a hero, man. That's how it goes. pushing both sides. But what's up, everybody? Welcome in. Thank you, friendos, for hanging out with us. We are going to be going through some of the latest news, which was a lot of weekend stuff. Taking a look over the last 30 days, picking out some funsies here and there, of course, and looking over at waivers. Got to get a hat tip to our boy, Chris Meany, who murderballed the contest last week. I got to tell you, I didn't even do the full scoring because it doesn't matter.
Why bother? Yeah.
Meany hit both of his home run calls. Both of them.
Yeah.
I did the scoring on day one. I think he only hit his home run on the first day. You hit one of them. I don't remember which one you hit. And then I was trash the first day. I had to actually change my home run call that day the back end of my tweets.
Buxton scratched.
Well, Buxton just didn't even play.
Oh, what a shock. Realize. Buxton got scratched.
Yeah, no kidding. That. And but it didn't matter because we were given 3 points to homers and he hit it the second one. So shout out to him on that little fun prop contest. And I love two because he was tweeting about it. He was like into it. He was tweeting his wins. Like that's what you got to do. When you go on a place, you make some calls and you nail those, put it out there, baby. You know, I will tell you, I don't think I've tracked Meany as far as how crazy he is with props, but boy, is he a good home run call guy. Like he is what I've learned about him: shots on goal, money, absolute money. And home run specific calls are really good with him. I feel like we need to do is we need to like go through and find the best people on certain props. Cause we all can't be great. We all can't be perfect on every single one of them. We can try, but I feel like everybody kind of falls into different territories of what they're best at. And his is definitely home run calls. So shout it out to our boy, Chris Meany. Also, by the way, Bogman and Welsh completely invading Fantasy Pros this morning and on Tuesday, as people are going to be listening here. So it was straight up Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, just new world order. New Welsh order.
For life. Welsh hosting. Bogman, the normal, play-by-play guy, I guess, color man that I am. So Welsh as the play-by-play. So it was a lot of fun. And of course, you know, supposed to be 30 minutes. We're pushing 40. It's what we do.
30. It was under 35 minutes. I thought we were going slow and then I kind of sped it up. And then I was like, ooh, we're doing good. But I dragged it a little towards the end when I could have ended it a little bit quicker. I think under 35 is more than fine. I think people had fun. And I'm hosting throughout the week because Joey's out. Bogman's with Tuesday. And then Casey Bubba, me and Bubba are going to be doing a couple days. So people come and hang out. Let's talk about the Bees ball because we have our first real trade of this time period. Trade deadline about a month-ish away. I think it's July 31st. So they didn't move that, did they?
July 31st.
You know why I get confused is because they got rid of the waiver trade deadline.
Well, and also the All-Star game is moved back a little bit later because the season started a week later. So the All-Star game is moved back till the 16th. Usually it's around the 10th-ish, somewhere in that
neighborhood.
Which I hate,
by the way, because they also moved the MLB draft there. which, but I guess it's a little over 3 weeks, a little under 3 weeks away. But yeah, I feel jolted because of like the waiver deadline and things being moved and stuff like that. But we have our very first trade actually went down like literally between us doing Fantasy Pros and then starting up yeah. our show here. Carlos Santana, not the singer, was traded to the Mariners, which kind of tells you a story about Ty France's injury, which is a little bit worrisome. But ultimately, I actually thought about Mitch Haniger when it happened, because I was like, well, Carlos can go play DH, and maybe that means a lot to Mitch Haniger, but that's not the biggie of the story. It's that Vinny Pasquantino is officially coming up to the majors. Hey, let's be stereotyped.
Joe Pizzapia's Alto's cousin comes on up to replace him, huh?
Look at that. You know the funniest thing that happened literally while we were doing this? I'm going to show you something. So, Joe's cousin, super Italian, right? You know, cousin
actual
Donnie.
Actual real cousin. Yeah. Not Vinny Pasquantino, right?
No. Look at what happened while we were talking about the
cousin Donnie called you. Yeah.
Cousin Donnie called me within 2 minutes of.
Are you coming on out
this.
To play at a softball or what, huh?
I think he's probably calling. He's like, hey. Things are in movement. Vinny Pasquantino's up to the majors.
Vinny's calling up. We're canceling the game. We gotta go to the sports bar watching the game, huh?
It's cousin Donnie. Vinny's up. All games canceled.
Vinny got called up, huh? We're gonna go watch him, huh? Why don't you come
go
see
have
us
a
with,
little,
we'll have the a goal.
I have a little the ZDs.
Gonna get the ZDs. We're gonna go over to my favorite Italian joint, the Oreganos. All right, that's where we're gonna go.
Stop all brick shoes for the next 24 hours in honor of Vinny Pasquantino. It's horrible. It's stereotypical, though. You got to give credit. It's one of the few stereotypes like we can still do without, you know, being like decimated. You know, I was thinking about that the other day.
Italians have a sense of humor. That's true.
So. Yeah. Well, you know, one thing that we have. I was thinking about this. The only thing you and I really have that we can be really aggressive about is just like fat people. Like we can say whatever we want about fat. Like, well, yeah. And no one could be like, hey, listen, it's like, no, dude, like you want me to get on the scale to prove if I need, I need to scale this sucker? Like yeah. You and I have open.
Why do you think people call us Scully and Hitchcock over here? Come on. You know, so.
Didn't they die? Did they die? Did one of the guys die in the show?
Oh, no.
I stopped watching. It got.
Yeah, I don't
super,
think anybody died. No, I think the guy who plays Hitchcock was, you know, maybe didn't want to be around COVID because all the stuff that he did was through like an iPad. He was like all the whole last season he was on an iPad. It was kind of crazy.
A little scary, a little weight scary. But well, you and I toe the line. You know, actually, I have right over here. You probably can't see it because of the camera view we're using. I have one of those. It's not the 23andMe, but it's something just like that. Should I send that in and see if I'm Italian to see if that was okay what we just did?
You want to send in a 23andMe? That's how they get you. No way.
Well, what do you mean they're going to get? How are they going to get me? Here, you tell me how they're going to get me. I'm going to pull this thing.
No. I mean, I don't know. I just know that that's what everyone says. That's how they get you. They connect you to a crime. They make you. Have you ever seen this show? I think I've told you about it. Resident Alien. It's on Peacock. It's a goofy show with... Steve the Pirate. Why can I never remember his name?
Oh, yeah. Do we have Peacock?
He's the main character. Yeah, we got Peacock. Okay, so, Peacock. But there's a thing where they introduce this character and she's like, so I got my dad a 23andMe kit for his birthday. And it turns out that my real dad is his best friend. So she goes on this, you know, how her parents got divorced and everything. And then like, you know, he goes off, he's thinking about something else, not listening to her. And then he snaps back to she's talking. She's like, so if I were you, I just wouldn't get any of those DNA tests done. Just let sleeping dogs lie.
So. Let sleeping dogs lie. So I've got mine. It has like caution. This is crazy. It's called MyHeritage DNA right here.
You actually have one of these.
I wasn't joking. I'm showing it to Bob.
When did
right
you
now.
Get this?
I got this for, I think, my birthday. I think my wife got this for me because she knows, like, it's one of those things I'm interested in it. She has 0.0% interest to know anything about her past. She doesn't care about history. And I'm like, this would be really interesting. So I think I should do this. And maybe we'll do this on an upcoming show.
Half the stuff I have in storage is from my grandfather being obsessed with genealogy.
Like the pink guy?
Absolutely obsessed with it. I have files and records of everyone with the last name of Bogman from, from Europe and then Dutch Guiana in South America. And
ooh, what if you were like Filipino?
You think I'm Filipino?
I think it could be there.
What about me says Filipino? Welsh?
A vibe. It's like a vibe.
It's a vibe. Okay.
Vibe. Nothing physical. I'm not going to point out any features. It's just kind of a vibe. It's a Filipino vibe. I know, see.
One feature.
I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to do this and we will have a show in the future where I will not look at the results and we will live look at the results of this to see what I am.
Oh, wow. Yes.
And maybe we'll do betting odds. We'll have we could do a contest where people could do like the top three of what I am. They could take a guess with percentages. Ooh,
how about 10,001 odds that you're an alien and don't know it?
Oh yeah, we could do odds. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, like it's going to be like -150. It's just going to be like European Caucasian. It's going to be something like that, but we'll maybe get specific, but yeah, we'll put alien on there. We'll have some fun.
Did you ever see the South Park where they're doing 23andMe? I mean, I can't describe it at all outside of asking you if you've seen it, but okay.
Nope. Yeah. I would be here for you to describe it. We edited some stuff out last week.
Nope. I'm good. Don't want to make any more work for you. You know, the more times you have a bunch of stuff you need deleted, the more times we become careless about it and no thanks. So
I got more time on my hands, Boggs. Remember? Yeah. I'm looking for more work. I'm not looking for less, Boggs.
No thanks. Well, I don't want to pay for edits. So,
All right. Vinny Pasquantino hitting 280 this year.
280.
280, 370 OBP.
370 OBP.
All right. About a 950 OPS, 18 home runs, 3 stolen bases, which is surprising because he is a large human being, large and in charge, has 16 doubles in 69 games. Last year, he had 37 doubles across two levels, which was big time with 24 homers. His home run rate is quite a bit higher this year than it was in years past. And he is a huge dude. I mean, to be honest with you, Bugs, kind of like me out there. If you look at like, you're like, oh, that's a way too big of a guy. He's like 6'4". They list him at 245. Ooh, I would say he's a couple biscuits higher than 245. He's a big, thick dude. But I will tell you, that was in spring training. He was in when the deal came, if everyone remembers, like baseball finally agreed. And the very first thing that happened anywhere was the Rangers and Royals decided to play a game and they put a game out and it was Jack Leiter pitching to Bobby Witt and Pasquantino. And he is large and in charge, beautiful swing, great OBP guy. I think he's a must pick up right now because I think he's going to play. Salvi's out. Pasquantino is probably more of a DH than anything else, but he can play first in DH and first base is gone. It's a no-brainer. Go pick him up in all formats right now, and hopefully it works out. But, you know, he's not a big strikeout guy. He walked as many times as he struck out last year. He walked more than he struck out this year. So there's a lot of patience. There's a lot of big power, and I'm here for Pasquantino time.
I hit it a ball far.
Yeah, is that Pasquantino? Was that him that just came on the podcast? that always sounds. Did you see also there's an account that was Vinny Pasquantino get called?
I saw
up
that. You're like, you can rest now, my friend, or whatever.
He tweeted the Royals post and he said, Vinny got called up today. And I said, you can finally rest. Good night, sweet prince. Let him finally rest.
You do the what do you call it? The Thanos meme for him. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, he can finally rest. the other thing just to think about as well is I'm a teensy beansy wit worried about Ty France and then making this trade for Carlos Santana because Ty France was the first baseman easily. When he gets healthy, you could move Adam Frazier off a second if you want. He could DH. This may mean more about Mitch Haniger. I don't think it means anything when Ty France is healthy. I just wonder if that injury is a little bit more worrisome than we're guessing. Or like I said, maybe it really is a Mitch Haniger thing long term, where it's like, hey, this is a move that they could make. Carlos Santana can be first and second, or first and DH. France can play really anywhere in the infield in DH. They've got all the outfield help they need. Taylor Trammell's been playing better, that they don't need to go replace a Haniger with another outfielder, where they would infield. So just keep that in mind for both of those plays with the stupid Mariners. Other of the big news is the freaking brawl. I guess we don't have to talk about this too much. We talked about it on Fantasy Pros, but every ounce of it is just, this is magical of like,
dude, the double birds is amazing. A Sunday day game too, like, which is usually bring your children to the ballpark day, you know, all that stuff. And Winker does the double birds.
Oh my God. Like, and it's like, I mean, I would have given anything too. There's so many ways it could go. It would be like, you know, it's baby day. You know, I mean, a little dangerous too. There's a couple other days that they're doing in the month of June that you've got to be careful about those fingers and what Winker's really doing out there. But like, I love it because what's that one meme where the guy does his middle finger and then he really, oh, that's what it is. It's the two guys fighting in the street where they're flipping each other off. Have you ever seen that where they go back and forth and then finally one does two? Like that was Jesse Winker. It's such a great moment where he did the double bird. These are all the great moments because who cares about like the logistics of it? You had double bird and let's actually rank them. I'm going to put them all out and then we're going to rank them. You have double bird. You have Anthony Rendon eyes to the face while wearing a cast.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You had, and then I think you had the bubblegum throw. Let's focus on those three. So one to three.
Eye raking first, I think.
So eye raking is number one.
Yeah, because especially with the one hand and like he's in, it's crazy. He's in the middle of it with a busted hand. So, you know, that was fantastic.
Okay,
I would say double birds too, and because I didn't even see the bubblegum throw.
It was after everything. What was so funny about it is it was at the Angels, and everything happened. It was all done, and Raisel Iglesias just grabbed a huge container of bubblegum and just threw it.
Oh, that's right.
And everyone had to pick it up. I would vote double bird one, then eye gouge two, and then bubblegum three. That would be my vote on all of it. Eight guys in total. I haven't seen any suspensions. Julio was involved in it. It's, I don't know. There's something about brawls that are just magical. I still, to this day, I really do feel that there should just be like a penalty type box. Like they should allow some type of fight.
They like, should let them square up like hockey does. Yeah. You let them square up
and not throw them
and
out.
And then, throw them out. But when someone drops, the fight's over. We don't have to have the benches clear and everyone get involved and blah, blah, blah. Like, let them square up. Let them duke it out. Somebody hits the dirt, fight is over. If they both hit the dirt, fight is over. That's that.
The problem is those dudes hit the dirt immediately. Like, they have no balance. Like, everybody is on the floor.
But not baby giraffes, you know. But the reason they're all on the ground is... The reason they're all on the ground is because everybody runs in there into a giant pile and knocks everybody else over.
See, isn't that kind of a fix? If you said, hey, listen, we're going to let the two guys square up. And then wouldn't that help fix everybody and their mother running like every meme, the Forrest Gump meme, like, hey, my parents are gone. You coming over? And everybody's just booking it
right
in there.
Right.
Like if you just let them square up, let them fight. As soon as someone hits the ground, then it's over.
Some of these pitchers would be more careful, especially if, you know, they're throwing at a giant hitter. And maybe some of the hitters think twice about charging the mound. Yeah, but I mean, do you think like Nigel Morgan chases after Chris Volstad if they were, you know, if he knew the benches weren't going to come and help him? He's
but that's what I'm saying. Like you make it a thing. Like you have a really harsh penalty for anybody that comes off the bench, like to the point where an entire team could be suspended because you're going to allow these guys to square up. Let them square up a little bit. You think
somebody drops somebody, dudes, fights over. No,
you think
no more.
A couple major dudes punching off the mound is worse than Jesse Winker double flipping bird to the entire.
It's a bad
stadium.
Look. Yeah. And the little girl that was there for when Joey Votto got ejected and she was crying was there at this game too. That was hilarious.
She's bad luck. I feel, or maybe she's just having bad luck. Me and her have the same luck right now.
Well, you know what? Someone should take her to a UFC event. You know, that you probably have some good luck there. You know,
I feel like if I were to go to a game right now, 100%, the opposing pitcher would go 7 no hit, and then the manager would pull him. That's what would happen. It'd be like a Darvish all over. Like me and her have about the same luck right now. But everything about the brawl was just magical in every moment of it. And oh God, this is the one thing we forgot. Okay, we have to re-rank the pizza. So then some girl
ordered
a pizza. Well, I guess it's number one. The pizza's number one. What?
Did you say some perv online?
No, some girl. Just some girl. Oh, just some girl ordered a pizza on DoorDash and delivered to the clubhouse, and he confirmed he got it. He got the pepperoni pizza. So pizza has to be one, though. Hard one.
Well, I mean, I'm happy for the driver, being a former pizza guy myself.
400 people.
400 people tipped him. Not $400 in tips. 400 different people tipped him. So that dude probably got his rent paid for a couple months off of one delivery there. So
I should do that right now.
I like that. So
maybe I should do that. Oh, but are you going to, would you rank the eye gouge above the pizza thing?
Yeah. I mean,
Fully re-rank then. Never mind. Give me your re-rank.
I might put pizza down at the bottom just because I'm used to that.
Wow. Stuff. Really?
So, yeah. Someone ordered someone a delivery. Okay. I mean, that's kind of like a pay
person watching a game ordered a Major League Baseball player a pizza after he was kicked out for fighting a double bird. The pizza got to the clubhouse, was delivered, and he acknowledged it. That's so easy. That my new order is pizza one. What did I have? Double bird two. Eye gouge three and gum four.
Dude, people have ordered me food from Uber Eats during Deckard Balls. So
you're not a professional baseball player. People are watching on Fox and then went to the clubhouse.
I know. It's even more impressive for me because we have 35 people watching Deckard Balls and I still got sent food.
I'm not saying the act of getting a pizza is incredible. It's a baseball player, 30 minutes or less, was out on the field playing a game, gets kicked out, and a pizza was delivered by somebody just watching, and it actually happened.
I think it's funny that he actually accepted the pizza. I think that's the funniest part of that whole thing. Is he's like, oh, sure, I'll take it. You know,
Winker tipped him? I guess the girl would have to tip because she used her app to get it.
Yeah, she used her app. Sure. Yeah.
You think Winker tipped him though?
I hope so. And if not, I bet he has by now.
He's on a list. Yeah, if he hasn't, he's going to be on a Bogman list. Bogman revealed we've talked about some of the worst tippers on the planet. Bogman has experienced some good and bad tippers in baseball history, and he did Adam reveal Jones, the worst.
Amazing. Yeah, Quentin McCracken, garbage.
Yep, that's the line. That's the line. Mm-hmm. Is the Adam? Do you hit Adam Jones or are you Quentin McCracken? So is that the last one for you?
Yeah, I think that would. Well. Wow. I mean, the bubblegum throw was kind of lame and inconvenient to everyone. So I'll put the pizza ahead of the bubblegum throw. How about that?
Really? Okay. Well, I mean, I'd be curious. I feel like I think
eye gouging and double bird way better.
I think with that vote, I just took over the public. I think I took over the people poll. I think I have.
I doubt it.
I think I'm going to take the Electoral College because I think I've got it all. I think I got
your vote doesn't matter at all.
I don't think so. I would be curious what anybody else has to say about it. The other two big dogs, Bryce Harper fractured his thumb because, man, I was just trying to throw in.
Should we replay what happened after Bryce Harper? I'll be Harper and you can be Snell.
Okay. Yeah. So, all right. Here's a pitch.
God, you got to know where you're pitching, Snell. Come on.
Man, I just sitting up here trying to get paid. You gots to move that hand. You gots to move. Brother. Hey, brother man. You gots to move that hand out of the thing, Mr. Harper. You got to move it.
Why was Harper so mad? Like,
the hand is fractured. What are you talking about?
Oh, okay, but... why was he screaming at Blake Snell? It's not like Blake Snell. I mean,
Blake Snell. That's a good Blake name.
Blake Snell. It's not like he can't. He obviously can't aim that well. So it's not like he meant to hit him in the wrist. Give me a break.
Stop playing video games so much. Maybe focus on what you're doing. Stop your little Twitch channel there.
Man. Oh, man, I got to get paid. I got
to
get paid.
I hope Hopper gets paid. I hope I don't lose no money. I'm not going to get fined. I'm just trying to be here. Snell's stupid. He sucks. I'm over him now. So
I mean, it sucks. I have Harper in a league and I don't want to lose him, and he's gonna miss, you know, probably at least a month, I would say.
You know what kind of sucks? Ever since I met him, like, the allure of all the fun of him is gone.
Because he was so nice.
He was nice and like he's like a funny dude and he gives fans time, but he's not doing anything like
I gotta get some water, man.
That was still all-time favorite moment. Like, hey, Blake, could you stop, man? It's hot out here. I gotta get some water. I gotta get hydrated. Gotta get hydrated, man. And then the Astros combined for. I moved on a little too quick on Harper. Mickey Moniak is gonna come up. The Harper injury. What is your expectation of the length on it?
Probably a month. You know, hopefully he doesn't need surgery on this. So,
But it's a broken left thumb. Do you think there's going to be any zappy zap on power moving
forward? Well, there definitely could be, and it just depends, you know, because Salvi Perez had his thumb busted, and he has a UCL tear in his hand. That's going to be 8 weeks, you know, because he had to have surgery for it. So I'd expect a month, and, you know, our boy Mayer on Fantasy Pros put on the sheet, if the Phillies fall completely out of it, what incentive do they have to bring him back? Might as well just have him do his TJ surgery, because he's going to have it after the season anyway and get it over with and come back for spring training next year. So it's just, it's not good. I know that this dude has already been hurt, having a good year too, but this really sucks, man. It really sucks.
I'm watching a video. I didn't realize Harper, like, baseball's stupid. Like, I'm watching an old video of Harper getting hit and like getting in a brawl. We're talking about having like things. Harper like apologized as he was walking out to Snell, and Snell like tipped his hat. He's like, "It's okay, brother. It's okay, yeah, man." Yeah.
You good? Well, he started screaming at him, and I'm like, "Dude, that's part of the game." Like, you know,
You break my hand, I'm going to say some stuff. Everyone would be very surprised about this. I'm actually very tame in my household. Like, I don't curse in front of my kid. No. I don't really curse in front of my kids way more than, however, any of you listening.
I'm sure no one feels your anger because you don't put curse words on it.
No. Check this out. But I'm saying is, like, however much you probably curse in front of your kids, I do less. My wife, not so much. And like, it's kind of the joke around the house, because I don't, and they know, they're like, ooh, but like, the kids always refer to when I broke my toe and the words that came out of my mouth when I broke. I mean, it's happened 3 or 4 times. So
yeah,
when I've done that, the words
this week,
whenever it's like, daddy doesn't cuss. And then my daughter will be like, well, when daddy broke his toe, he had a lot of words. And I'm like, is that okay? There are times for it. Really, it's me just not polluting my kids' brains just yet. They'll have plenty of time to pollute them when they get older and stuff like
that. Yeah, I'm sure YouTube's not doing any of that. So,
in that respect, yeah, they're polluting their brain. There's always new ways to pollute your brains. So, Vinny Pasquantino, honestly, is actually a pretty decent pickup in retrospect to losing Bryce Harper right now. There's nothing that, like, it's such a tropey thing, but like, there's nothing that's going to fix losing Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
You know, you can't replace that. Mickey Moniak will replace him. Which is, you know, okay, that's something you can consider. Oh, he might be a little bit of something. He's got some power speed. He was playing half decent in the minors. But at the end of the day, I'm trying to look and see, like, even on, here we go.
That'd be like replacing Jonathan Taylor with Nyheim Hines.
You know, one actually I really do like, again, this isn't outfield, Isak Paredes. That's
Isak.
He's been
Isak season.
Bonkers. 5 homers over his last 4 games. Dude has an RBI in each of his last 4 games.
I gotta tell you, I was wrong about this guy. I'm actually now gonna pronounce it Isak in my Bible from now on. It is Isak season. It's Isak 319. It means I just
hit pop. This is the revival Bible. This is the Isak version. I'm going to put this commentary by James Earl Jones on Amazon, the book of Isak.
You remember that? I do.
No, that's why I said it. Yeah. It's you know, it's amazing too, is in the Obi-Wan, you know, I mean, James Earl's like,
he's still doing it. Yeah.
Well, no, it's a computer. He's dead.
I don't think James Earl Jones died.
I think he's dead. That's like a computer generated.
I mean, I'm not shocked, but I don't think he is.
Maybe he's not dead.
Nah, I think he's still doing it. I think he's still alive.
But yeah. I think they're okay. Well, you know what? Breaking news: James Earl Jones alive. Did not know that.
Well, but James Earl Jones did the voice for Vader in Rebels too.
No, but they were talking about there's like this computer generated program they have now to regenerate voices.
Oh, for sure.
And that they were using that Christian Haydenson is actually doing all the talking. Did I mix it up? Hayden Christensen. Yeah, you're right.
I did the same thing like 2 weeks ago, by the way. Did you?
He's doing all the talking, but they're using this program with James Earl Jones's voice on it. So, you know, he could do this. What I'm getting at is he could do the Book of Isak.
Because we came, we were talking about Isak Paredes.
So. Yeah, but those are a couple guys. Another one, I mean, he's been kind of up and down, and I'm not actually sure what his, oh, well, actually I know his status because he can't go to Toronto, but Jaron Duran, just another one of those guys. He's been stealing a bunch of bases. He's got hits in five of his last four games, three of those being multi-hit. Jaron Duran, Pasquantino, and Isaac Paredes would be guys that maybe you could move to in some of your smaller leagues if they're available. And then the only other thing was the Astros. They had a combined no hitter. You know, who cares about that? Valdez was awesome, but he couldn't go the whole way, so they had to get some other guys in, and they had to celebrate like it's like some huge I don't know. It's just like if you get a no hitter, in my mind, that's like this team accomplishment where everyone's excited. If you get like a combined no hitter, I think like the bullpen's happy. Like the pitchers are happy. Like no one's celebrating that. No one's like they're not gonna be like, this day in history, this team had a combined no hitter. It's just not, I don't know, dude. It's just like going 5 for 5. It's cool. It's fine. It's no big deal.
The combined no hitter, just not the Welsh's favorite at all. Wants to give it no respect, no love at all. I mean, Javier had a good start. I think that's more respect.
Yeah. 13 strikeouts, incredible strikeout run. If anything, what I did love was the back end of the next game, Aaron Judge hitting like a walk off, just a walk off homer. He continues to go. And dude, what were we doing? Were we doing like a, I think it was on the radio or something, where we were looking at odds of MVPs, and like Otani's not even on it. It was an article. It was like top five MVP potential and a voter, like early voting. And Otani's not even on that list. Like I know what Judge is doing is incredible. It's amazing. It's super fun and stuff like that. Maybe this article was on Fantasy Pros. I don't remember. It's all fun and stuff. He's got 28 homers. He's super exciting. He's a great hitter and stuff. But like, I just don't get why everyone's like MVP. What are we talking about? Otani's ridiculous. He's stupid.
Yeah, he's not going to put up as many homers, but he's going to hit like Judge is going to hit 50. He's going to hit 38, driving 100, have close to 100 runs scored and steal almost 30 bases. And he's going to have 175 innings pitched and like 200 strikeouts. So what are we talking about? How can anyone compete with that?
Like, that's legit, the whole thing. If he has like 15 less homers, 20 less RBI and 20 less batting points, is that really going to be the difference of him having 25 more stolen bases and a full top 10 SP on the season, almost 200 strikeouts better because he has 15 more homers? It's just, I don't understand it. Judge is incredible. It's insane.
If Judge hits 65 or 70 or something, okay, you're breaking records, you know, okay. Maybe that's, but I still don't think it's worth as much as, you know, what Otani's going to do from both sides.
Let me ask you something. So new ranks are going to be coming out next week. If people want to be ready, over on Patreon, Dynasty Prospects and the Redraft. And the Redraft one, you know, I know a lot of people,
by the way, looking at the odds, Otani is still number two in odds. So
no, but that's what I'm saying is like, it was this ESPN article or something that was written up. The odds, number two is Otani, but there was early voting. Nothing.
There could have been something like, look, we're just going to not have Otani in here, or this is picking against Otani maybe, because Judge is the favorite. He's minus one right now, minus 115. You can get Otani at 3.5 to 1 right now.
You know what it was? It was an article that did like an early vote type of thing where they were asking GMs. I think they're asking GMs around baseball, and Otani wasn't in the top five, which is just like it's just a bonkers thing to me. It doesn't compute with me on how that's working, because you know, he's next level. It's not to continuously, you know, try to make him this only thing. But my question was this on Judge real quick. What do you think, you know, redraft? In the last update, I have a top tier of outfielders, and it was three guys. And this was last month or beginning of this month. It was Trout, Acuna, and Judge. Do you think Judge should be the number one outfielder moving forward on the season in fantasy? Thinking about what he has to do, also thinking about stolen bases, do you think he needs to be the number one outfielder?
No.
Over Acuna, over Trout?
I'm put him over Trout. I can see that. But Acuna gets stolen bases too, so I would put Acuna one in that list.
Okay, yeah, I mean, that's where I'm at. That's where the update kind of is. I mean, Acuna, I believe, we're going to take a look in just a tiny bit over like the 30-day marker. Acuna, but he's only got 5 stolen bases in that time, which is kind of near the top. But Acuna over the last 30 days only hitting .267, 5 homers, 5 stolen bases. Mullins has got more stolen bases. Julio has outperformed Acuna over the last 30 days. Almost, stat for stat. literally, there is not a stat that Acuna is better than Julio in over 30-day markers, and they're within five at-bats of each other. Think about that for a minute.
Yeah.
That's how crazy Julio has been. That's why we did the stupid all-star vote thing. I hate the all-star voting, but we did it on Fantasy Pros, and I put Julio in the top three of AL because it's he deserves it. He's been absolutely bonkers. So I was just curious at where people are, because I think people will get upset if he's not number one, but I think you do have to think about like the stolen base marker in there and total production. But, you know,
Acuna's bigger picture, been, that's baseball, man. Bigger picture.
Yeah, Acuna's been a little like, you know, he's been fine. He's been totally fine. But the newer rank updates will come in, and Judge is all obviously going to play like a big role in that movement. Some of the other, just moving through the news, Mark Appel is made it to the bigs. I don't believe he's made his debut yet, but he has made it to the bigs. Crazy story. 2013 first overall pick. Second pick was Chris
Bryant.
Wasn't
he the first overall pick in the draft the year before too?
Yeah, I think it was the Pirates. Yeah, I think it was the Pirates took him, and then he decided to not do it. And then he was taken one overall by the Astros. And then that same, I actually did this on Fantasy Pros today as one of the like trivia things. That same first round had Tim Anderson go 16 and Judge went 32nd in that draft. Like, think about that. Like, Mark Appel. Think of all the guys. Everyone makes a big deal about Bryant going two, but all the guys that went after, and you had Tim Anderson and Judge go within 30 picks of Mark Appel. He's going to make his debut here shortly, which it's just a fun story. It's not relevant to like literally anything. He's a reliever at best, so there's nothing big. Wander Franco returned on Sunday. Thank you, beautiful baby Jesus. Nine pound, 3 ounce, little beautiful baby Jesus.
God.
Brandon Woodruff is going to return.
It's still omnipotent.
On Tuesday, he's been out since May 28th with an ankle sprain. So I've been a little bit washy on Brandon Woodruff, but he'll return. In my eyes, that's a great trade value time. Jack Flaherty back on the hurt, and you say this is dead arm. I do not.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it says on the Roto-World report, is that it's dead arm. It's, you know, became shoulder discomfort, and then it's dead arm. This is something, you know, is it worrisome? Of course, you know, because Jack Flaherty's already missed almost the whole season up until the last couple starts, and we finally get him back on track, and now he's going through dead arm. But the thing I will say is we see a lot of pitchers go through this, you know, after they've been in camp for a couple months and they start to ramp up for game speed and in spring training, and then they hit this dead arm phase. So hopefully this is two or three starts and then it's over with, but you never know with a guy that's already been hurt and on the IL, it could be a bigger issue. So, you know, it sucks for those of us that have rostered him, but there's nothing he can do but try to wait it out, and hopefully it's not anything worse. So
yeah, I got two shares, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think I have two also
sitting on. So that's a, you know, it's just so cheap and just kept lasting. I am like legitimately worried. Speaking of Acuna, I left this out. He was out of the lineup on Sunday. He fouled a ball off of his foot. So
yeah, they're a little worried that he may have to go on the IL, but they did X-rays and the X-rays were negative, so he didn't fracture anything. But maybe they'll want him to sit for a couple days because of that. But that's, you know, that's a freak thing, you know, fouling one off your foot. So
there are a couple other IL things. Brandon Crawford, knee inflammation, IL. Hunter Renfroe, calf strain. Trevor Larnach with a core strain, all hit the IL. I mentioned it before, but Salvi Perez, he had surgery to repair torn UCL. He's going to miss 8 weeks. Could be more. They've obviously made the moves that you're kind of understanding. In a little bit bigger news as far as returns go, Max Scherzer rehab start on Tuesday, which I think would line him up to maybe come back on Sunday. So that's good to get Scherzer back, especially pre-All-Star game, to get one or two starts just to get the rust out for a big second half. Chris Bryant's coming back today. Chris Bryant, an incredible stat, has no homers and no stolen bases on the year. In the time that he's played with the Rockies.
How many at-bats does he have?
Way more. 50? Way more than you should. I'm not sure. Are you looking? Because way more than you should for having absolutely no counting stats.
Yeah. 63 plate appearances. Like you said, no homers, no stolen bases. He did have a 342 on base and 11 runs, but only four RBI as well. So, I mean, you know, probably wasn't playing at 100% when he was playing. So,
yeah.
Hopefully getting him back soon. Fingers crossed, because the last time he came back, he immediately went back on the IL. So
yeah, like Andrew Heaney, who was also placed on the IL with shoulder inflammation. He came and he's gone.
I just remember the beginning of the season. I think I was on with Joe from hoop ball, their new baseball show over there. And he was asking me about Andrew Heaney. I'm like, no, I've done this dance before with Andrew Heaney. He will let you down. He will leave you at the prom by yourself. You don't want that. Don't trust an Andrew
Heaney. You don't want this, Dewey. You don't want this, Andrew.
You don't want
Heaney.
It, Dewey.
I think I kind of want it.
All right, but just this once.
You don't want this. Well, just this once. Start, and then he's out. Jeremy Pena returned. Manny Machado, interesting issue that he's missed six straight games. They said he was doing well, healing, not putting him on the IL. He's got to be coming back in the next day. I haven't looked at him.
Well, it's either he's coming back or they got to stick him on the IL finally retroactively.
Yeah, so. But what would be the point at this time? Like six straight games, that's 7 or 8 days. We're going to stick him on for 2 days retroactively.
Okay, but what's the point? What was the point of not putting him on there is my question. If he's missed six
because
straight
he's okay.
games.
Here's what I'll guess.
He's okay?
He's coming back on Tuesday. I'll bet you he plays on Tuesday. They're off today. I think they let him ramp up now that I'm looking at this, and he plays on Tuesday. That's
he better play Tuesday, because if he doesn't, then it's
what are you
going
to do?
Well, he's going to miss eight games. And you're not going to put him on the 10-day IL. It's stupid. You got to explain yourself if you're making these decisions and not putting him on the IL. That's my whole thing. It's not like I'm going to go to San Diego and burn the place down. I don't give a crap. I have one share of Machado, I think, maybe two. But it's just idiotic. Like, the guy had a bad sprain. Put him on the IL. Don't make him, you know, try to work through this. It's dumb.
It's frustrating from like a fantasy player standpoint because
frustrating because you know they're going to try to rush him back and he's going to get hurt again. We've just seen it with a million players. So, you know, let him take the time off and get him back at 100%. It's stupid.
I suppose it's definitely been one of those things. It's been funny with when we've taken a look at a lot of like MVP odds and stuff like that, and he's still been in the mix and he's missed, you know, starting to miss like. You're getting into the significant game range where you're missing more than six. You're going to get into 10 games. Also not IL, which is a little bit worrisome because to your point, when it's you dumb. Sit around for this length and you're not put on the IL, but you're also not playing the games, it's like, well, what are we doing? Like,
well,
how bad
you could
is
at least
this?
Put an extra relief pitcher up there so you don't have to throw position players when you get down or up, you know, by so much. That stuff.
I think
dumb.
He'll be back. I bet he'll be back Tuesday. That's my guess.
He should be.
Also in trade stuff, John Heyman over at New York Post says a rival executive says that the Royals are talking more seriously about Whit Merrifield in trade discussions so far.
Well,
and you just
Carlos Scull. Yeah.
I think that's kind of the tip of the
first
iceberg.
First domino.
Here.
Yeah.
First domino is a way to put it. Now, here's the only thing though. The Royals are not flush with more talent. They've got Nick Prado. But Nick is like a first baseman, maybe corner outfielder. That middle infield type of stuff can be tough. I mean, if they wanted to go, here's what you could do. You could go Bobby Witt at short, who I know he's been playing some with Adalberto out. And you could have Nicky at second. You could do that. You got Mondesi kind of floating out there. Maybe you could transfer Prado to be a third. I think he's athletic enough to play third if they wanted. So I guess you could make those, but I still feel like Witt would be good for this team long-term, especially with all these young guys. But I think that's part of this process where they're saying they're entertaining moving him and they're looking at it more because they might have to be in full. Yeah. They have to be in full mode.
37 games in the outfield and 35 at second base. So he's really a tweener as far as that stuff goes. I think
he wants
the
to be
whole
a second baseman, by the way. He did that whole song and dance where he's like, well, I want a gold glove at second. I want to be there, but if I got to win a gold glove in the outfield, I'll do that too.
Yeah. I mean, that's very, very confident. I like it, but you know, I think the whole song and dance here is at the end, get Mondesi to third and just shift everybody over once he's back with Merrifield gone.
So. Well, I think Carlos Collazo, when I tweeted that game we talked about with Leiter, that I tweeted the first official Bobby Witt as a third baseman picture. I think he said it's like, what did he say? It was like having a Maserati, but driving a Toyota, you know, or something like that, like something in that line, because he is an elite third shortstop and they put him at third base. So I think the dominoes are starting to fall. Also, Heyman reported that the Mets are among teams that are showing early interest in Luis Castillo. So Molly and Castillo should probably both be on the move if the price is right. And that's what, you know, we're going to have to see how aggressive teams are. And the Mets have got pieces. You know, I think Francisco Alvarez is like an obvious piece, but they got a couple of their great dudes in Alex Ramirez is one of them. Ronnie Mauricio. So yeah, Francisco Alvarez is probably somebody everyone should start taking a look at anyways, especially if you play in the big catcher issue type of league, because he's going to be up in some capacity, whether it's traded or with the Mets, I think, soon. And he's hitting bombs and, you know, people are calling on him. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll take a look at some of the big weekend performances and some 30-day performances right here on In This League.
It's In This League.
Why didn't you just go home? That's your home. Are you too good for
In This League?
Answer me! Suck my white ass!
Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Yes, you can find Bogman and the Welsh at InThisLeague.com. Our Patreon, I know you know it, you know the whole deal, but come and check us out. I'm hoping, I'm very much hoping, on the next episode, the Thursday episode, we can kind of announce what our plan is going into July, which is very weighted on Patreon with some of the stuff that we're going to do. And it is only going to be to the benefit of our Patreon people for more content. So come and check us out. New ranks are coming up in the month. The draft, I'll be doing a live stream of the MLB draft in the month. I've got the P180Ps. Bogman is going to be doing lots more football content, as well as I will. Our community's there. You can hang out with all the peeps, talk trades, talk all the stuff, and have access to us. And you are literally directly supporting all of us and all of our work so we can continue to do it and make more. So come and check us out, InThisLeague.com. $5 will get you in. $10, probably the best value, but I'm not the one to tell you what to do with your money. So go and check it out, InThisLeague.com, if you are interested. And like I said, hopefully in the next episode, we'll have some more updates. That's what I'm hoping. Bogman, over the weekend, you had 10 batters hit dual homers, no triple homers, but 10 batters with that. We have got, I really want to get that month-to-month home run data. I need to pool someone to see if they can do that. You know how we were talking about the fly, the how much the ball's flying a little bit more?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I want to see that overall homers.
Yeah, I want to see the overall month breakdowns of these bad boys, because you know you're definitely seeing the multi-homers increase. Though I do feel like last week, we were up to almost 20 multi between threes and fours. So I guess it might have stalled a little bit. Your son, Alejandro Kirk, let's start there boy. For a second, had two homers with five RBI, batting 600 over the weekend. Alejandro is currently hitting 322 with 10 homers, 35 run, 31 RBI, with a rest of season projection at 24 homers total, so 12 more, and he would actually be right around 300. We're talking about rank updates. Catcher, I have not been as respectful as I need to on Alejandro. I did have him as a starting catcher, so I think there's that. Boggs, is there a case that Alejandro Kirk, by the way, not only probably saved Salvador Perez owners, and you know, maybe even a couple other guys, Tyler Stevenson owners who put a heavy investment, but is there a case that Alejandro Kirk should be a top five closer move or catcher moving forward?
Yeah. I mean, there's absolutely a case for that. The guy is,
would you make the case?
Yeah, I think I would. The guy is hitting 322. He's like, you know, in the Yahoo algorithm for the season, he's inside the top 100 players. Yeah. The catcher is obviously the hardest position from a year to year standpoint to keep your production. And it's only him and Wilson Contreras inside that top 100. The next highest in terms of rank on Yahoo. And we know their algorithm is a little flawed for sure, but
no,
it's Farsho, because he's hitting 239, but he's been dropped down to seven in the order. The most recent couple games with the D-backs. Travis d'Arnaud is okay, but he's hitting, what would that be, 52 points less than Alejandro Kirk. Will Smith is good, but he's hitting 50 you know, points less. Bugs, JT Realmuto is hitting 237 at five homers.
I got a couple things for you here, but you hit on one thing I was going to say is I don't think in any world I could have imagined that Alejandro Kirk would be more valuable than Will Smith this year, that I would have guessed that that's the case. Alejandro Kirk currently has the highest WAR of any single catcher, which is a great marker to have. There are only seven catchers with double-digit homers. He is in there. He's tied with Travis d'Arnaud, Dalton Varsho, Jonah Heim. Wilson Contreras has the most of any catcher, which is a big number. As far as runs go, I'm just giving you the leaderboard. He is second in runs for catchers in baseball, which is absolutely wild. He has the second most runs. As far as RBI, top five. He is fifth, with tied for fifth with Wilson Contreras and Tyler Stevenson, both with 31. He has the highest batting average of any of these guys. But here's maybe, this is the thing that stood out to me big time, Boggs. He is the only qualified, we're not going to count ridiculous catchers with no plate appearances. I put 60 plate appearances. He's the only catcher in baseball with a 3.45 slash. The only one. That's, we're in July. He is top five. I pretty much told you in almost every category in baseball. And he's the only 3.45 slash guy. I wish we had talked about him more. We kind of poo-poo about catchers a little bit, but this is just a reiteration, is if the value hasn't caught up for people, Alejandro Kirk in a Yahoo platform is a top 100 player. He is one of the more valuable guys. And we just lost Salvador Perez. You know, now that I'm looking at the rank, you know, he has to come off. I've got Kirk inside my top four. And I think, you know what the real test is? Real Muto. Or Alejandro Kirk rest of season.
Yeah,
what do you think?
That's a tough one because at least JT has been stealing bases. He's got 9 swipes on the year. So,
but his batting average has been, you know, poop squat. I think
it
has been. Let's see. I pull him up. He's 237, 5 homers, 9 stolen bases, and he has the same amount of runs as
Alejandro. I'm going with my kid. I'll go with my kid.
You can go with your kid.
Yeah, look, he's in a better lineup and he's hitting better. So, yeah I'm going to go with my kid.
You know, I think I am too, because I think he's for the catcher position, he's elite in 4 categories. He doesn't get you stolen bases, which is an advantage to Romuto. But the only thing Romuto's doing is getting stolen bases, which is, it's fun to get out of position bases and stuff, but who cares at this point? I'll take the 300 average. He's going to go over 20 homers. He is a huge, huge boost in all platforms, and you know, got to give him his love. You absolutely got to give the love overall. A couple of the guys, Julio Rodriguez is just back on this list. 2 homers over this weekend, no stolen bases though. Diego Castillo, Rowdy Tellez were on there. Evan Longoria and Adolis keeps freaking hitting, dude. I am so shocked because I was so kind of out on Adolis last year, not thinking the sustainability. He has just leveled off into being such a valuable player. 256, 15 homers, 11 stolen bases, over 45 run and RBI. And he's, I mean, he is, the trajectory of him is a 30, 20, 90, 90, and 250 hitter for the rest of the year. That is wildly valuable for a no name, for a low named player that people really don't believe in. You know what I'm saying?
And sometimes that risk pays off, right? Because like, this is kind of the risk you were taking with Adolis was kind of the same that you were taking with Javier Baez, but Javier Baez did not pan out at
all. That's a good point.
And yeah. Adolis has. It's kind of these big swing and miss.
The cost
guys.
Was quite different, though.
It was way more for Baez, but Baez, we had a higher track record and we'd seen him do it before. Adolis was like, for what he did last year, he was basically free. I know he wasn't free in terms of a taking with the last pick or any of that stuff. But for what he did last season and just no one buying into it at all, he's been very, very solid.
So Baez, here's your point. Baez, we're just looking at Yahoo's because it's super easy to see their preseason value. Baez was 67th overall, so top 70. Adolis, 155. 155 preseason on Adolis. And, I mean, you would kill a small goat potentially to get those Adolis numbers on Javier Baez. You might sacrifice a goat.
Speaking of sacrificing things, I went and I just plugged in the home run totals per team and I did the dates on FanGraphs. So I went to team leaders. Dates. I did April, May, and June. So
we did our own work. Thank you, Bugs.
So, yeah. I was like, oh, this shouldn't be that hard. So 574 bombs hit in April. Take a crack at how many. And remember, there was a weak miss.
Give me the number again.
574. There was a weak missed in April because remember, the season started like April 6th or whatever.
Okay.
So let's just say a week. So then we get a full 31 days in May. So you take a crack at how many.
I would say 700 would seem if it followed.
904.
Whoa.
This month. In May, we're through June 26th because today's the 27th and no games have played. And we're at 844 for the month. So 574, which, you know, you take 4 or 5 days off.
Can you do one thing? Can you change the year? Can you change this to 2021? Well, how does that?
Well, project? It would have to be 2019 or no, I can do 21. I'm
no,
sorry.
21. You can't do 20, 20. You can do 2021. How did, cause it was what? 550, 900 something. I don't remember the exact numbers.
Yeah. It was 904
for May.
Yeah. And then
so what was May last year?
I'm gonna look right now. I have to like pull it and do the whole thing.
Yeah, so no, it's gonna be a pain in the butt. So yeah, that's quite a jump, because even if you added that last, if it was 25% and you added that back, you'd probably be at like 650 or something like that based on the homers. If you were just trying to do some math, maybe 700 if you just want to round up, is around what that was the trajectory. That's 200 more homers. You know, that's like a 30% increase. Again, I'm doing very rough percentages, but that's almost a 30% increase in May from April of like from top to bottom. That's a wild increase. But does it look like that normally?
I'm looking. So you're just gonna have to let's move on to something else. I'll put this together.
We'll come back. Yeah, we can come back to that. But those are your big homer guys. Edward Olivares, another one of those guys. Over the weekend, as far as runs, always like taking a look at this. No big run guys. They were all four was the top, and there were six players. Jorge Mateo at the top also had two stolen bases and a homer, continues to be valuable. Tony Kemp is a nice little source of leadoff. You know, you're looking for runs. He had one stolen base, one run. I think you can continuously look at him. Christian Walker in there as well, but he hit really, really poorly. RBI over the weekend, three players with five, Alejandro Kirk, Nelson Cruz and Kyle Schwarber were the only ones. And fun fact, Kirk walked more than double than he struck out over the weekend, where Kyle Schwarber walked 7% of the time, struck out 35% of the time. You're still in base leaders over the weekend. You had six players that went dos: Nick Senzel, Jorge Mateo, Altuve. You'd love to see that. Jaron Duran, Chris Taylor and Gleyber Torres. So that's why Jaron Duran might be
a little bit like you were offended by him being. Well, Nick Senzel. Like,
when do we see his name? How often do you talk about him unless you're talking about disappointment? Well, then
we're talking about the injury list.
That's it. 100%. Over on the strikeouts, let me just put this over to pitching just so y'all can see what the dudes did over this weekend. I think Framber is probably going to be near the, oops, I just screwed that up. Let me go over to, we have a nice little sheet we use that have the weekend stuff, so we don't have to sort it. Here we go. For the standard, your big strikeout leaders, I think we had multiple. Yeah, we had four pitchers that went over 10 strikeouts this weekend. Cease and Javier both struck out 13. Javier did not give up a hit. Aaron Nola and McClanahan with 10. And I want to say, well, we're going to do this in a second. We're going to do the 30-day look. I'm going to guess Aaron Nola is going to be top three in strikeouts over the last 30 days if we take a look at that, because that dude has been nothing but striking out dudes left and right. Miles Mikolas struck out 9. Julio Urias with a group of other dudes. Jeffrey Springs, I think that was another one of the Meany's picks, which just absolutely bombed out. Josiah Gray also had 9 if you're looking up for the big strikeout guys. And I think that's a good little break there for as far as what we're doing for the over the weekend.
I got homer totals for you from 2021.
Okay.
So
are you going to do like April and May again?
Yeah, I have April, May and June. So April of 21 with the full, you know, we're going from the first year would be 875 home runs.
Okay. So remember, based off of, it was rough math, that's but based
300
off
300
of,
more last year than this year.
But even if you take my base, my baseline roundup where I said, let's call it, if they had played the full week, about 700, if they had played for this April, had they played. So that is still about 150 homers less than, so, and that's about, 20%? If you
now that we're, now that we're back to the more rubbery ball in May, right? We had 904 from this year. May of last year saw 936. So that's in line.
Okay. You
know, we're in line there. Then this month seems a little off. I mean, we still have whatever, a week left or four.
Three or four days.
So 844 homers this season in June with a couple days left. Last year in June, 1,019 homers hit.
Yeah, I mean, we're probably going to get over nine. We can get to 900, I think, relatively easy, but we're not going to get quite there. So, I mean, the outlier is clearly April of this year, which is like a huge, huge percentile.
They clearly changed the ball.
It's interesting seeing the big differences. Now, I mean, this June.
And what last year was in, didn't they start getting rid of the sticky stuff in June too? So,
Well, it was mid-season though. Remember, it was mid-season.
Was it more July?
I thought it was late June.
You might be right though.
It's just interesting looking at all of it. I mean, the biggest discrepancy is April over April. This June could be really fascinating one as well. Because it does feel like it's tapering down a little bit, but I mean, we can't live in a world where we continuously conspiratorialize, like, you know, they're changing out the ball this week and that week, and they're doing it.
Well,
like,
don't it's just continuously do this conspiracy theory, but they keep switching the ball. You know, they make us do it, Welsh. I don't want to wear this aluminum foil, tinfoil hat, but I have to because of their radio waves they're sending to my brain.
They got baby lizards. They got baby lizards under Best Buy. Every Best Buy around the country. There is a fortress where the Illuminati, they're taking the gene splicing of lizards. They're putting them into the baseball. So the baseball, it changes shape. It changes color and it becomes a completely different object from an alien based form. All right.
How cringeworthy was in the Multiverse of Madness when they called their thing the Illuminati?
That's a thing, comic book thing. Is Illuminati. Yeah,
well, I understand it's a real thing too. It just feels super.
Well, it feels cringier now.
There was a lot of cringy stuff in there. Remember when they were fighting with the musical notes?
Yeah, by the way, I always wonder, like, at what point, I mean, there's plenty of people that would say instantly, but like, what's the level when I do my conspiracy thing? Like, when do you need to stop? Like, could I keep going? Like, what percent want me to just go down?
Oh, I bet there are many people that just fast forwarded as soon as you started, but there are many people that were laughing so hard they had to pull over because you wouldn't stop. So.
It's always fun to see, like,
a little column A, a little column B.
All right. So over the last 30 days, I think this is always a fun little marker to do. I think at the beginning of next week, we'll probably take a look at the year totals on where we are in year totals. But I think over the last 30 days, we can take a look. The number one player over the last 30 days, I will tell you, we're using Yahoo's algorithm. We could use WAR if we wanted on FanGraphs, but let's just use a system, you know, so you guys, because this isn't to like tell be all end all, but what's interesting about it is taking this on different platforms that you play on, because these are going to look relatively similar. And Jordan Alvarez, number one player according to Yahoo's platform over the last 30 days with a 404 average, 10 homers, 29 RBI. And I believe the RBI is more than anybody, and the homers are only second to Schwarber and Judge in that time. So he has been bonkers over the last 30 days. And remind you, on Yahoo, he qualifies at outfield, which is super nice. And here's another thing. Check this out, dude. Three of the top four hitters on Yahoo over the last 30 days do not have a stolen base in that time period at all. So think about that from the algorithm standpoint, because number three overall, this is going to just feed it.
It's my boy,
Alejandro Kirk, over the last 30 days is number three with 9 homers, 24 RBI and 24 run while hitting .386.
This is a guy you should be sending pizza to. I mean, who's going to appreciate it more than Alejandro? You know, Winker is going to appreciate it more? No, he's not. You know what? I tell you what, though. Maybe Tristan McKenzie is the guy to send a pizza to.
So, I don't think he'd appreciate it, though.
Get some weight on that man, though.
I mean, sure, he hears that all the time. I think that's about as equivalent to being like, hey, you should smile more.
I don't think it's
go,
that bad.
Go find a nice blonde reporter. Be like, you should smile more. I think eat a sandwich to Tristan McKenzie is about the same thing. I don't think he appreciates that. That guy just inhales food and it's just gone. And God knows what it does.
He inhales strikeouts. We like that.
It does that too. But no, I agree with you. By the way, we have, you know, I hate to do like a 6-month promotion for it because maybe we'll find something else to do with it, but we have an incredible Alejandro Kirk piece of memorabilia for what in theory is going to be. I have it right. I don't have it right in front of me.
Rusty left.
No, you know exactly what it is. I'll tell you what it is. You don't remember, but you'll know exactly the instant. All right. It's an amazing piece of Alejandro Kirk memorabilia that is out there, and it spans into ITL. And we're probably saving it for Deck Our Balls, the Christmas special. But I don't know. You know, with how things are going, maybe we need to do a Deck Our Balls every month or something like that. And maybe we'll do it there. But I think people will enjoy that a lot. Number four, the other guy without a stolen base, Paul Goldschmidt. Probably no shocker. 324 average, 9 homers, 26-26. But number two overall, Can't stop. Dansby. Dansby Swanson, 7 homers, 5 stolen bases, 359 average, 24 runs, which is as many as Alejandro Kirk, 20 RBI, which is less than the other crew, but the 5 stolen bases put him up there. And Dansby,
I got a question for you. What do you think Shelby Miller's doing right now?
I wish he wouldn't have brought that up. It just, I get super every
time
about Dansby.
Every time I see Dansby, it makes me mad that we traded him for Shelby. So,
you know, what really grinds my gears, what really bothers me is when there is a star and a team, my team specifically, does not grow them at all and even try. We never did it with Carlos Gonzalez. We traded him away for Dan Herron. We never saw the fruits of our labor. And Dansby was even worse because we barely had him and traded him off for what is maybe arguably one of the worst trades the Diamondbacks have ever done. And they have done a lot. And he looks like an absolute star. So, you know,
you know that Shelby pitched this year?
Yeah. I mean, Shelby's
No. You know what? He hasn't pitched this year. This is last year.
Then was late last year. Yeah, it was late last year. I know he was like looming around. I guess
he's in the Yankees organization right now.
He showed up at like a complex level for a team like at the beginning of the year. So he's just looming around. But let me ask the same question on Dansby. So Dansby is another one of those guys. He's been so phenomenal from a redraft standpoint. Let me ask you a couple names. Well, this will be a first. This is a nice warm up. Dansby or Corey Seager?
Dansby.
Okay. Dansby or Bobby Witt Jr.?
Bobby.
You go Bobby?
Bobby.
You think Bobby? You picked up Bobby?
Give me Bobby.
I want to point out Dansby Swanson on Yahoo's system for the entire year is currently ranked number 2 in short.
And also, 13 bombs, 11 homers for Dansby, 11 and 11 for Witt, but it's 242 versus 304. That's the big difference there. So
I don't really hate that one. How about this one? Lindor versus Dansby rest of season. Lindor currently on the year has 12 homers, 1 less, 8 stolen bases, 3 less, hitting 246. Only has a significant amount more RBI. He has 56 RBI, which I believe is the most of any shortstop in baseball, but Dansby is beating him in the other four categories.
I'm still going with Lindor. It's definitely closer. I mean, you know, Dansby at least deserves to be in the conversation of these top end shortstops now. That I think that's where we're putting him, but I'm taking the experience over him.
But Wander. Talked about Wander on the counting stats and projections.
I think I'm going to take Dansby because he's just going to get those homers and stolen bases. I'm not sure Wander's going to get. So, yeah, I think I'm going to take Dansby.
Strikeouts are bad. Bottom 20% in the league for Dansby, but he is top 80. I'm going to just use 85% because that's a good marker. He's 85 percentile in barrel, ex-WOBA, expected batting average, and 80 percentile, 81% technically hard hit. X slugging 90 percentile. It's outside of his strikeout issues, which are there. He is hitting the ball really, really hard. Like he's made a complete change in that respect. Last year, he hit fastballs at 354 clip. Or I'm sorry, 254, 359 this year. 53% of the pitches he sees are fastballs and he's hitting them 359. I will tell you, I do not think that's sustainable. And I don't think that will necessarily continue. So there could be a sell high perspective on him right now. But I kind of think the Wander one is really fascinating because I'm a little torn on this is not close dynasty, but like, what can Wander be the rest of the year? He came out hot. He really tapered down. He got hurt. What counting stats can he put up the rest of the year? I'm worried the strikeouts get a little bit ahead of Dansby. And I think some of this is not sustainable. So there, I would be interested in trading high, but I do think he is more valuable than Corey Seager. I think you can make a case of him over Lindor. Bobby Witt, I think, is just right in the same range and stuff like that. But I think he's like a top, you know, 5, 6, 7 short. So he should be valued in that at worst, even if you trade him. I think he should be valued in that place. Some other guys, let's go back to the 30-day marker for hitters. Over the last 30 days, Kyle Schwarber, 7th overall with his 11 homers. That's a nice marker. Judge has been 11th if you're counting. How about this one? Over the last 30 days, Bogman, your leader in stolen bases. Now, mind you, no other player has more than 18 all season. Birdie has had 18 in 30 days.
He has to be like the most efficient base stealer in baseball history. I did watch him get thrown out the other day. It's funny. I was recording CFF with John and Eric, and I had my TV on, and they were talking. And John and I, because John will always tell me about his fantasy baseball team because he has like two, and he knows I'm a baseball guy. So we'll talk about his fantasy baseball teams before the show starts. And he said, yeah, I just picked up Birdie from Miami. He's telling me, that I'm like, yeah, dude, he's getting a lot of stolen bases. And I watched it. He had zero caught stealings, I think, the whole year. And then I watched him get thrown out. So he got caught stealings that bases. So
I like caught stealings. That should be, caught we should stealings. Make that a thing. I was
going to say CS's, but then I said the whole thing instead. Yeah. So
I'm not judging. Like people need to remember that. Yeah. I say everything wrong all the time. I like when I hear those things because feel a little bit more connected.
I was not offended. I was letting you know why my brain short-wired right there. So I was going to say CS's, and I was like, not everyone, it's not like a common. Yeah. It's not like SBs, stolen bases.
Yeah. Stoley bases.
Caught stealings.
Caught stealsies. He's a little stealsies caught. Marcus Semien has continued to be good. 7-7 on homers and stolen bases over the last 30 days with a .279 batting average. So you can feel pretty good about that. Also, Jake Cronenworth, I've had our boy Colin been in my DMs all year long, and almost every other message is about dropping Jake Cronenworth. And I'm like, dude, listen, you can do it. I'm just not doing it. And he has been, over the last 30 days, a top 25 overall player, according to Yahoo. Only 4 homers and a stolen base, but .288, 24 runs, 22 RBI. Brandon Drury continues to roll, 7 homers, hitting over .300 in the last 30 days. He's just not going to stop it. It's just not going to stop. He's up to 15 on the year with a .272 batting average, which is just bonkers. And I still can't get over this. Just Jerks and Profar, 41st on Yahoo's algorithm with a .297 batting average over the last month, which is just like, what the hell are we doing here, dude?
This I know. Crazy.
A couple others inside the top 100. Michael Harris has been a 50th overall player on Yahoo over the last 30 days. 3 homers, 3 stolen bases, .333 batting average, and .330 batting average. And I don't think people quite fully know how to value him. Somebody posted a
Well, everyone is waiting for the fall off to happen because he made the jump from AA, and a lot of times guys will come up hot and they'll be great, and then they'll sink like a stone. And it just, he hasn't had the drop off yet. So dude is still hitting .330. He's incredible.
He's going to come back down. He's got a .425 BABIP right now. That cannot continue.
You don't think that's going to last? Come on.
Nah, I'm going to go on a limb and say it's not going. But this is the type of guy that he is. He is built to be a contact hitter. His problem is he's not walking at all. So here's what I do worry about. When he comes back down to earth, he's also not doing himself any favors to get on base, which he has to do. So what you need to watch for is him making a concerted change. He's got to walk more when he's not getting hit so he can continue to get stolen bases. But I'm a believer, and I just don't think people are valuing him quite or understanding the value of him. 30 days, top 50 player. So move forward with that. Austin Hayes, another guy we've been talking about, 6 homers or 5 homers, .269 batting average, 51st in the last 30 days. There's Luis Arraez with the .350 batting average. Does have 3 homers. 3 of his 4 homers have come in the last 30 days. No stolen bases. RBIs are low. He has as many RBI as Michael Harris does in that period of time. But Michael Harris has got the stolen bases. No stolen bases in there. Ahmed Rosario has picked it up. 5 stolen bases, 2 homers with a .324 batting average over the last month. He's not going to get to that .220 like I was projecting preseason because he's only got 2 homers. But he does have 8 stolen bases. So I think the stolen bases can get there. Big change over this last month.
By the way, players with 100 plate appearances, the highest batting average in the big or highest BAPIP in the bigs is Michael Harris, .425. Yeah. Number 2 is JD Martinez at .406.
So is Luis Arraez still up there?
It's really? Bogarts. So Harris, Martinez, and Bogarts are the only 3 with BAPIP over .400 with a minimum of 100 plate appearances. Birdie is in there. Miguel Cabrera, Tyler Stevenson, Garrett Cooper, Swanson, Brendan Donovan, and Chris Taylor.
Luis Arraez was 390. He was like top five in qualified baseball like a week ago.
So. He's 21 among players with 100 plate appearances at 369.
369. And
damn, she 36, fine.
36 Mafia. Byron Buxton's on this list. He's still, even though he's actually hit 289 in the last month, but he's only had 80 plate appearances, quite a bit lower than most any of these guys. Bobby Witt, 5 homers, 4 stolen bases in the last month. Lane Thomas, 6 homers over the last month with a 272 batting average, only 12% owned in Yahoo. We'd just like to point that out. Every Lane player we've talked about, Lane Bryant, every player, let me go back and confirm this, we've talked about in the top, is this going to do that thing? Yahoo always does this where like I try to go back and it won't. So weird why he does it. I don't believe there's a player. Okay, here's one. Nate Lowe is 44. I would say I don't think there's a player under 50% owned that has performed at top 100 over the last month. And the only two players over under, 70% are Nate Lowe and Lane Thomas. That's it. That's the entire list under like 60%. Nate Lowe, 7 homers hitting 300 over the last month, and Lane Thomas, 6 homers hitting 272. Top 100, 12% owned. Maybe take a look. CJ Cron in there. Gleyber Torres continues to kind of ball out. Luis Robert, a little bit struggle, man. 1 homer in the last month, but hitting 300 with 5 stolen bases. So he's getting a few things done. On the pitching side, your number one pitcher in baseball, Shane McClanahan over the last month. And I think,
and not a shock, 0 people surprise.
Also season total. He is the number one Yahoo pitcher on the entire year. He's actually ranked 3 overall. The number 2.
He's ranked better over the year than he is over the last 30 days. Yeah. And he's the number one pitcher over the last 30 days.
So. The number one pitcher on the year, or number 2 pitcher on the year, is Tony Gonsolin on Yahoo. That is wild stuff. That is a standard.
He ranked 8 over last month.
Yeah, I think the month did a lot to it. That's just like a wild, like that's just like a standard league. That's not some ESPN doing points weird stuff or that thing that Mayer did where he shared the, what was it? The ESPN thing where they had Eugenio Suarez in a points league more valuable than Jose Ramirez nonsense. Like this is just a standard Yahoo 5x5 league. 49 strikeouts over the last month with a 1.38 ERA. That's the 3rd most strikeouts. Corbin Burns, the most. He is a 26 overall pitcher wise. I'll have to look here in a second. He had 52 strikeouts over last month. Cease hit 50. Cole hit 49, tied with McClanahan. So they were 3rd. The best ERA in that time, though, I don't think I realize this, Dylan Cease, a 0.26 ERA in that time period of a month. 2nd most strikeouts, but check this out. He has the worst whip of those top 4, a 1.14 whip. Worse than Burns, worse than Cole, worse than McClanahan, which is kind of interesting. Sandy Alcantara, your number 3 overall ranked pitcher, 3 wins, 45 strikeouts, a 1.74 ERA with a 0.79 whip. Manuel Clase, the top closer over last month, 10 saves, no earned runs, a 0.64 whip. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. If anything is going to save my potential of not being a horrific ranker on Fantasy Pros next year, it'll be Emmanuel Clase balling out. I need him to continue going because I had him ranked quite high, Boggs.
Yeah, I had him very high too. So, that has been good for us. So one closer that has worked out. So
how about this? Your number 2 closer over last month?
Melanson.
Jorge Lopez. Number 2 closer over the last month on Yahoo with 8 saves.
Like we all predicted.
No earned runs and a 0.36 whip. He has the exact same amount of innings pitched as Class A with 2 less saves, 3 less strikeouts, and a lower whip with no earned runs as well. That's bonkers stuff. Pivetta is, as far as SP goes, I guess this would make him the number 5. 40 strikeouts, he has 5 wins. The algorithm's pushing him up because of the wins. A 2 ERA, which is pretty good. Some other guys that stand out, Diego Castillo for the Mariners pops up here, but it's because of wins. He only has 2 saves, but he has 3 wins, 14 strikeouts, a sub 1 ERA, and a 0.27 whip, which is ridiculous. The other outliers, Boggs, how about Josiah Gray for a second? 31 strikeouts, 2 wins, and 29 innings pitched, a 1.24 ERA. He is actually starting to turn into kind of a thing. He has 5 straight games. I want to call them quality innings. They're not, but he does have three, but he went five innings with a win and three strikeouts, a 1.8 ERA, six with a win, nine strikeouts, a 1.5. He went 5-6 in his next two, giving up no earned runs. So, and then he just went seven.
Let me ask you about Gray. If you were putting him in a category, would you say this is more breakout, or would you say this is more like what we were getting from Merrill Kelly? Like, you know, like he's good, but we're expecting the shoe to drop at any point. Or do you think, okay, this is him starting to kind of put it together?
This is him starting to figure it out. You got to remember, okay, he came from like a really good, at that time, like analytical pitching organization, first with the Reds, where, you know, they had Kyle Bodey from Driveline that was over there. And, you know, think of how they were developing pitchers. Then he goes over to the Dodgers and he's with the Dodgers organization, which does amazing things with pitchers, kind of continuing on. He's got 3+ pitches. I don't know if I call them all plus, but 3+ pitches, you know, a couple being solid. And then he goes over to the Nationals and it just takes time to figure out. He was always kind of a strikeout guy and it's starting to work. So I think this is kind of starting to become believable. It's just on such a trash team. That's the thing. It's just like, it's hard to, it's also, there's a guilt by association thing. When you see like Strasburg and Corbin Carroll and stuff like that around, there's this guilt by association you have that these guys can't be successful, but he's really starting to put it together in the last 30 days. You can kind of see it. Logan Gilbert, 2.21 ERA, 34 strikeouts, top 50 overall, top 25 SP. Zach Wheeler, Otani has even been in there. Nathan Eovaldi, and then guys that are inside the top 100.
And by the way, Otani's overall was like 25 among hitters because they split him up in Yahoo, and like 86 among pitchers. So
stupid. You know, that's crazy.
Inside the top 100 on both sides of the ball.
The surprising names inside the top 100 still, you got Michael Wacha, who's got three wins, a 1.78 ERA. For Boston, Corey Kluber has been pretty good. Two wins, 2.36 ERA over the last month.
You're all welcome. I dropped him like a month ago. Do it. And now he's been great. So.
And then the two relievers that kind of jump out, Eli Morgan and Michael King, both pop up in that top 100 just because they're getting wins. They're just insanely efficient. If you like to play that, they're not available anywhere. And maybe the biggest disappointment too is Clay Holmes is going to lose that job. I don't know if you saw that. They said Chapman's about to come back and they're going to put him right back in the ninth, which I think
is way to give up. This is like MLB The Show 12. Where, you know, like you could be up in the bigs for 3 years and lead the league in saves and win the Rolaids Relief Award and all that stuff, but you give up one grand slam to Alex Rodriguez and you get sent back down to Double A.
We're gonna bring him back. We're gonna bring Chapman back in that.
Not great. Not a great move, Yanks.
I don't know. I'd even take at this point if they just committed to like both of the guys and like I just think Clay Holmes is great and he had the potential to be like a league winner. Just why take him out of that because of one bad? I mean, they're not going to coax it up like it's one bad performance that made him lose it. They'll just be like, no, just put Chapman back in there. Holmes is fine. I would like him to continue the gig. So that's a little look over the last weekend and 30 days on some of the performances and, you know, really setting up kind of like where ranks and values are going to go. I think there's a lot of guys in there that you can take some advantage of, you know, recency performance in trades because this is the big thing. This is kind of what I'm getting at. Last touch on this is like July is a checkout time for not everybody, but for many people. There's an opportunity that people do not follow how guys have been performing or the vice versa. A guy that's been performing really well that you think is going to taper down, people might not be really up on that come down. You know, so you might be able to get a King's ransom for Dansby Swanson at this point or the inverse. So, you know, maybe Alejandro Kirk does not cost what you really possibly think. But people that are in and people that have Kirk that are in, he might be one of the most untouchable players if you really think about it. Think about untouchable players in fantasy right now that I would bet you pound for pound, no joke aside, Alejandro Kirk is the most inaccessible trade option out there because there's no person that wants to pay what you deserve for his performance. And owners, why would you trade off?
Why would you trade? He's the number one catcher and you picked him up off the wire. Just keep him. It's all gravy that you're getting from him. So I wouldn't trade him.
Quick break. We'll come back and we'll take a look at the wavy waivers.
It's in this league.
It's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's
what they used to make
in this league.
I'm the smartest guy in the world. Says who?
IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Waivery waivers over on ESPN. Bogman, the number one picked up player on the ESPN platform, that famously great platform that maybe is points, maybe Roto, don't really know anymore. O'Neal Cruz, the number one picked up player, went from 7.9% to 54.9%. You know, snarkily, I didn't tweet it, but you know, his debut, he has that 96 mile an hour throw, and everyone was just jizzing over themselves about the ridiculous throw. And I wanted to quote tweet and be like, man, what a great pickup in my put out league. My shortstop to put out. I'm going to get so many points for that throw.
You know, it's funny. I was just about to say, out of all the stuff he's done, the most impressive thing was the throw. It's still the most impressive to me, you know, and yeah, sure. You're not getting points in your put out league. Are there any ultimate zone rating leagues? Do we have that? Is UZR still a thing?
I think that's part of the league. Know. We're going to have putouts and zone and miles per hour. Yeah, that's another one. Like, well, ooh, let me get extra points.
If they find a way to quantify it for fantasy, it'll be in there.
I know. So, there's going to be some EFS type of league where, and I know there's people out there, by the way, that play with defensive ratings and stuff. They play hardcore.
There was a league I made fun of F4, and someone said, well, we do have war in one of my leagues. And I was like, of course you do.
So, of course you do.
It's just like,
is that the 13th or 14th category in that?
Yeah, I mean, there are some football leagues where, like, I was like, why can you put head coach in here? You can put in head coach and get a points based on if they win or lose a game.
Oh boy, so, I hate that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, what are
that's
doing?
Next level. But O'Neal Cruz hasn't really done much. He does have seven RBI and 28 plate appearances. That's not horrible. He doesn't have a walk. He's not ever going to probably walk. He does have a stolen base, no homers, couple runs, hitting 250. It's fine. But it's just another one of those things. He'll catch up. He's kind of electric, you know, because he's this big, huge dude who can throw really hard and has monster power. But he has not walked a single time. He's striking out about 25% of the time. He's just overrated. He's so overrated to the hype. And you could say that about so many prospects. Vinny Pasquantino, you could probably say that too.
Most prospects.
He's so beyond in my brain. And I hate saying it because now he's 100% going to have like a 2-homer, 7 RBI game. But like, he's just so overrated to the hype that follows him. And I mean, how often do you see, you see that type of fanfare for making a defensive play for the top prospects in baseball? Wander Franco, Bobby Witt. The most thing anyone has shared this entire season is him throwing really hard to first base. Like, that's what people get excited about. He's just so overrated. It's crazy to me. He's the number one picked up player. He should be picked up though, but you know, not cut by anybody great. John Birdie, number two. John Birdie is 20% less owned in ESPN than O'Neal Cruz.
Yeah.
Just think about that for a second.
Yeah. And look, I wasn't wanting to give Birdie a bunch of credit last week, but Jesus, he stole like 10 bases in between then and now. It's insane what he's doing.
Think about that. 20% less owned than O'Neal Cruz. I'm shocked that Andrew Vaughn is only 64% owned. He's the third highest picked up player, but he's only 64% owned. He's a must. I don't think I need to say this. He's a must own player. He's really come into his own. He is living up to a lot of the Cal stuff when he was at Cal. He was a better hitter. Him and Spencer Torkelson were always kind of compared against each other. And the rub was Spencer Torkelson was a next tier above in power, and Vaughn was a next tier above as a hitter. And Vaughn really struggled, but he's found himself and he's become a 300 hitter, and he looks great right now, especially with all the weirdness going on there. So he should be way more owned. Michael Harris, number two, he's up to 43%, and Jorge Lopez 50% owned. I mean, there, if you play an ESPN league, there's so much opportunity because the bottom five pickups, David Peterson was 6. Isak Paredes is only 14% owned in ESPN.
I mean, on. I picked up Isak in a 10 man league yesterday. Like, the guy is just, he's going crazy right now. Yeah. Ride the wave.
Javi Baez apparently had a big push. George Kirby and Ahmed Rosario were your top. That was your whole top 10 there. Baez the most owned at 76%. Vaughn the second at 64%. But almost the entirety of that, the rest of that list was under 55% owned. So there's a whole bunch there. Your top drops, Santiago Espinal was dropped 14%. He was the only the top injured guy from 54 to 40%. Carlos Carrasco was dropped in a decent amount of leagues. Chris Morel, I think that's kind of wearing off on some people. Hunter Green, after getting blown up by the Dodgers, that's a stupid move. He's under 40% owned. Mistake. Michael Lorenzen and Mackenzie Gore. So the fanfare is coming up. Miles Straw, actually, as well, is on this list, down to 35%. Some of the fanfare coming off a lot of these guys right now.
Yeah.
Over on CBS, these numbers are going to look quite different. The number one picked up player. Would you look at this, Bogman? Isak Paredes.
The I mean, we one are in a, you know, the what was the Loki show Loki? Where they were? Was it just called Loki?
Just called Loki.
Why is it Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness?
That's like, a movie.
I want to punch you in your stupid face.
Right, I mean, that now. Was a movie. Loki,
yeah,
was a show.
I understand the difference between a show and a movie, you asshole. My point was, oh, look, is the book just more of the title? Remember that from Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Yeah.
Like, why is it so long? Well, why do we get Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness with blah, 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 blah versus, okay, here's a show. It's called Loki. You know,
called Loki.
But anyway, it looks like the time variant right now. All the most ads on ESPN versus most ads on CBS. It's like we hit that fork in the
completely
road.
Completely split.
Different universes, right?
At this point, ESPN is the paint world of the Multiverse of Madness. And this is more like Stark Robot World over on CBS. They're making completely different moves here if you're up on the
Ultron.
Variant universes, by the way. Isak Paredes, 35% owned on CBS. That's better. I don't expect him to be 90% or anything like that, but hot bats with all these injuries, you should be picking them up. So 35% owned, number one picked up player over the last 7 days. Keegan Thompson was number two. That's a start issue. Up to 60%. Ross Stripling, same thing. Jaren Duran, 42% owned now. That was a 23% change. You know what's sneaky about him too is he shows injured tags and stuff on him. It's just he can't go to Toronto. That's it. So, you know, he's been stealing a bunch of bases, getting hits. He looks way better, but he's not playing in Toronto. So you actually might see some drops. I would pick him up. John Birdie was number five. He's 71% owned. And then your bottom five is Tyler Wells, Smeltzer. O'Neill Cruz is 91% owned now. Ahmed Rosario and Oscar Gonzalez. I would point out O'Neill Cruz is the number one of owned players on this entire list of pickups, even going down, like going way down here. I'm trying to find someone more owned. Travis d'Arnaud had a 6% change.
George Kirby's 89%. Owned. So, yeah, I mean,
the hype is just, it's such next level. Here's what I would do.
But a lot of CBS leagues, it makes more sense to CBS leagues. Most of them, I would say, are keepers or dynasties.
I would give anything for O'Neill Cruz to pop off for a week. If I had shares, if he pops off for a little bit, I would trade his ass for everything. I'm telling you right now, when he hits a homer, every human being is going to share it. It's going to be one of those annoying timelines where it's like MLB Pipeline shares it, MLB shares it, Pittsburgh Pirates share it. And then three analysts are going to share it. They're going to cite the exit velocity. They're going to cite the miles per hour. And they're going to cite all the upside and how he can be a top 25 overall player rest of year. I would take all of that and I would trade his ass for the world, but you got to get a couple games in. But I'm telling you, the internet will break when he goes and he hits a home run because he's O'Neill Cruz and everyone gets excited about throwing 96 mile an hour to first. I'm really feel like I've been over a year stepping into being anti O'Neill Cruz. There's lots of excitement, but he does not match.
Did he not give you an autograph?
He's actually a nice guy. He's a super nice guy. He's a very nice guy. I like watching him in BP. It's none of that type of stuff. He doesn't match it. And people take advantage of this all the time. It's just so funny that I don't feel like they do it with him. They make excuses for Wander Franco or any other prospect and trade them. But for some reason he gets a pass on it and his return does not match his hype, and that is similar to Kelnick. And people probably made a decent little killing off of Kelnick. Well, guess what? O'Neill Cruz hasn't struggled for 3 months, so all he has to do is pop off a little bit, and we're going through the moon. Go get Dansby Swanson for him. I'd love to see that. That'd be hilarious if that happened. Most dropped players, Ezekiel Duran, who was sent down. He was number one. Zach Davies, Alex Fido, Reed Detmers, Chris Morel, Desclafani, Voit, Espinal, kind of the same crew of players that were all being dropped. So that is the crew. And that's the stuff. Waiver. And, over this past weekend, I think it was kind of a quieter fab Pasquantino obviously would have been great if you pre-picked up. I think he's.
Oh man, he's up, but... if he has a big week, he's gonna break some fab records, I'm sure. So
yeah, who'd you rather have the rest of the season, Pasquantino or O'Neill Cruz?
Vinny. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, O'Neill Cruz has a stolen base stuff. I don't know if they're going to be in the same type of hitter for the rest of the year.
Yeah. I mean, I'll take the bombs. Like I said, you know, the bombs gives you three categories. It's homers, RBIs, and runs. You get all three with one
category. I mean, O'Neill Cruz can do that too. It's just, how many do you think he's going to hit? You know, how much contact is he going to make?
Less than
Vinny. I suppose is the question. Yeah, maybe that's the case. Friendos, that is the episode. That is all that we have for you. It is
Welsh,
a
Bogman. You got to go Welsh. Call cousin. What's the?
I do got to call it cousin Donnie.
Cousin Donnie. Yeah.
Yeah. Cousin Donnie left me a voicemail. And
hey, just checking to see if you're good for practice. What's
how
the
funny?
Deal,
I
mean, huh?
I can't. I probably can't do it. But how funny would that be if I played the voicemail? He'd be like, "Well, she." I guarantee you. I should play one.
It. Yeah, yeah.
I should see if I can play one.
The very
second
beginning.
Of it.
Yeah. Maybe we pad a little bit since I swear these voicemails. It's I won't listen to a voicemail for a month if it's for a person from a person I know. Because I'm like, God, why did you leave me a voicemail? Now I got to go through. I got to put in my password. I got to wait for the thing. I got to listen to it, read off the phone number first.
I used to leave your voicemails all the time. I never do. All right. So I'm only going to play a second of it. I guarantee you it's going to go, well, she. Here we go.
Welsh, what's going on? Cousin Donnie over here.
You heard it? It was so perfect. That was perfect. That's Pisa Pia's cousin. Welsh, what's up over here? It's cousin Donnie. It's
hey, Welsh man.
I love him. I love him. He's the nicest guy too. Oh, he's a great so time. Great. And I guess I'm not gonna have to see what that voicemail. I gotta see if someone's getting whacked or if I'm gonna be playing some softball or something.
Hey, why don't you go get those concrete shoes? You made me over to park. All right.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm gonna do some stuff.
It's a Bogman and Welsh episode later this week. Probably have some fun. Haven't really decided on the game, but you know, some people clamoring for is it the wheel to come back? That's always a possibility that might be in the future for some other stuff. But it's a fun time with Bogman and the Welsh and your voicemails. We did have somebody say that they screwed up. I think it was Rich said, oh, this is why you haven't been playing mine. He sent it to the wrong address. InThisLeague@gmail.com. Send them in. I've heard rumors on the streets we might be getting a parody from Jack Boyce. There's no confirmation, but he's been a little bit out of pocket. So always possibilities. InThisLeague@gmail.com, 60 seconds or less. If you want the voicemails to live on, they are on the chopping block right now. The voicemails are essentially a team that can't decide if they need to buy or sell. So if they sell, they're gone. But if they buy, they could live on. InThisLeague@gmail.com could be anything, trade question, debate, whatever you want. You could have a comment, a parody song if you got talents, whatever you would. It's our idol. In This League idol is essentially what it becomes sometimes. So send those in for the next episode. Again, I am on all week long on Fantasy Pros. Bogman's with me on Tuesday. Bubba's with me on Wednesday, Thursday. And then PCP is back on Friday if you care about that. And check us out at InThisLeague.com. Go and sign up. Support your boys. End of the month is coming. Oh, a little dicey in the new month. So we would love to get a really big rally around coming in July. And that's why we got some hopefully cool stuff to announce in the next episode. So just strap in, get ready, support your boys. That's it. Bogman, Welsh, we're out of here. Goodbye now.
See ya.